Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. Summertime is always a good time to visit a farmer's market, or any time of year, really. Grab some fresh produce and support local farmers and artisans. One person who is passionate about eating healthy and local is Dan Hine. He is the founder and CEO of Eat Loco, and he's here today to tell us all about the organization and how he's helping local farmers grow their food business and customer base. Dan, thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us how and why you started thinking about the launch of Eat Loco. What was the inspiration to get it started?
So I have owned a marketing company for close to 22 years in Loudoun County. We, meaning me and the staff, decided that we wanted to start some kind of a project, kind of on the side, weren't worried too much about making money off of it. We wanted to do something that was around healthy food. So we put together a blog. We started putting things on the blog, like healthy recipes, ways to trick your kids in eating healthy, places to buy health food, ways to work out from home, places in town that you can work out, farm to fork restaurants, things like that, just as a resource for Loudoun County.
And this was just, like you say, a side project, something you...
Just a side project,
and
yep.
You were interested in healthy food, or as amongst your crew of folks, that was decided to be the topic?
There's definitely team members that are healthier than I am. So it was probably more them than me, but it seemed like the right direction for us. We felt like it was something that Loudoun County was lacking,
yep.
And we definitely wanted to fill that hole.
And just to let our listeners know, Loudoun County is in Virginia. Maybe give us a sense of geographically.
Yeah, so we're Northern Virginia. Dulles Airport is very close to Loudoun County.
West of Washington, D.C., for listeners outside of the area.
Okay. That's right, yep.
And so how long ago was this? You started the blog?
It'll be 3 years in April.
Okay. So and what happened next?
So we kind of decided that we didn't want to do it anymore. It wasn't really making any money, and our heart was in it, but it was just financially, it kind of didn't make sense. So I remember telling the staff, let's just go ahead and wind it down. Don't do any more work on it. And we've got to kind of pay attention to our paying clients.
Right.
6 months later, I kind of popped back on the site and noticed that my staff did not pay attention to me and the site was still going.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And it kind of made me laugh, a little angry, but it kind of made me laugh. We had a discussion about it and decided that we were going to kind of resurrect it.
That's really interesting. So it grew out of something that you would put the kibosh on, but they were plugging away at it.
That's exactly
right.
Which is great. I love my staff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We decided, we had a staff meeting and we decided, let's make this thing worth something. So we ended up making it its own company.
And so as a company, tell our listeners, what is it?
Again, we want to stay kind of close to our mission initially, which is about keeping loud and healthy, or giving you a resource to stay healthy. Whatever that means to you, we don't want to tell people what that means. We want them to kind of find it for themselves by going to our site. There's so many different ways they can go that we want to put it in their hands. So we want to stay true to that. But we felt that the one piece missing from this was where to buy this food from.
Okay.
We can go to Harris Teeter, we can go to Trader Joe's, we can go to those types of places, but the people that we really want to give back to are the farmers of Loudoun County. Unfortunately, there were, 20 years ago, there were 400 farmers in Loudoun County, and today there's under 30. And, you know, every time you see a new development going in, you can be pretty much rest assured that a farmer went out of business.
Somebody has sold his land,
yep.
His or her land.
Yep. So we wanted to give back not only to the farmers in Loudoun County, we also wanted to kind of reach out beyond. So we go up to sometimes 150-mile radius around Loudoun County and bring them into Loudoun County to sell their product at our markets.
Okay, so the business model is that you have created an opportunity for farmers to pay into being promoted at these markets then on your side?
That's right. So combining our marketing company with Eat Loco, we're able to promote these farmers on a regular basis. So it works at many different levels. So our marketing team is able to push the number of people that come through our markets much larger than a traditional farmer's market. So this past weekend at One Loudoun, we had almost 800 people come through, which is enormous for any kind of farmer's market, especially one that's only been there since December.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it sounds quite busy. And you had an example we talked about before our we sat down of the growth of one market. Is that the one you were talking about?
Right, right. So they had under 15 vendors here at this time last year. We've got close to 70 signed up, and I think we had just over 60 at this last market.
And so are farmers markets really where farmers make a lot of money, or how does it sort of fit into their business model?
They make almost all their money at markets.
Okay.
So it has to be a profitable market. They don't pay us a whole lot of money to be there, and that's by design. We don't want them to feel like that's a burden.
Are they paying something also just to be there as part of the market?
Yes.
Outside of so they have expenses, and you don't want to add that up too much.
That's right? Exactly right. A lot of farmers markets will take a percentage of what they make.
Right.
We don't want to do that because we feel that it's penalizing them for doing well. We don't want to say you did really well and we're going to take a higher percentage. We don't want that.
Yeah.
We charge them a flat fee. If they need five tables because they're a big produce vendor, we give them five tables. It's all just part of the fee. But included in that small fee, and the fee is like $35 a week, so it's not a whole lot of money. But included in that, we market them throughout the week for free. It's part of their fee. So we let people know about new produce that's coming out. We let people know we have a new artisan in town. Please check them out at our market. We let people know that there's a new jelly that our jelly vendor is producing. And, you know, things like that. It helps us because it brings other people out to the market that maybe wouldn't have come out. But it also helps the vendor kind of get their name out there and gives them a little bit of brand.
And with various promotional materials, you're doing this, emails or mostly
print?
We have an
email database that's very large. We have a social media following that's super large and growing every day. We have partners that we use their social media. We have sponsors that we can use there. So there's a lot of ways that we get the word out there.
This is so cool on a number of levels, and I can tell just talking to you that it's been successful and that it started out, as you said, a sort of a passion project, and you're doing something that a successful business does something for people sometimes that they can't do for themselves. So farmers are focused on growing good, healthy food and getting to the market and making sure they're doing all of that. You're able to spread the word and do marketing. I mean, that's not what necessarily they're trained to do.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So what are you doing other than this promotional efforts once the market is happening and are you there on site at the markets in some form?
Sometimes. So we have market managers that run our markets for us. That's their weekend job, if you will. They get to know the vendors. They work with the vendors. They tell them, make suggestions that their tent should be set up a little bit differently or their display should be a little bit differently. They help them come up with ways to better their product, make them look better at the market. So I show up every once in a while just to say hello, see if there's anything they need from me. And I have staff that does the same.
You got into a sort of a trend that's been growing for a while, it seems, in the country. Eat Loco mirrors a movement not just around here in the D.C. area and Virginia, but across the country to eat local food, better food, healthier food. Tell us your thoughts about the culinary scene across the country today and how local markets bring so much to the table.
I think that people like to come to the markets. So one of the things that we're doing that's a little bit different is that we don't necessarily call ours farmers markets all the time. We call them marketplaces because we're turning them into a destination. We want them to, you know, we want our markets to be mega markets. And a mega market to me is a market that's got 120 plus vendors. And the more vendors you bring, the more people you're going to bring. The more people you bring, the more money that our vendors make.
Right.
So we've done a lot of research to see how companies are doing across the globe, and a lot of them don't do well because they're too small, and people want a variety. And are people going to get out of their bed in the morning and come out at 8 o'clock in the morning to a market that's too small? So we're focusing on the size of our market. We're focusing on the types of vendors that we have. We want to make sure our vendors are vetted. We talk to them in great detail, especially the food vendors. Where is their food coming from? Is it locally sourced? Is it organic? Is it, you know, everything that they're saying in their application, is it true? Sometimes we go out and we visit their farm. We do a lot of due diligence to make sure that the vendors that we get are high quality vendors.
And there must be a little bit of a balancing act, the size of the market, in that there's a lot, plenty of small town markets that probably like the size of that market. And maybe it's successful just as it is, but you're looking to grow on a sort of a larger scale, it sounds like.
We're looking to grow because one of my goals is part of our research that we found with the farmers very early on is that we are only sometimes one of 8 markets that they do, or sometimes 20 markets that they do in 1 week.
In a given week, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the farmer, but it's sometimes it's their help or their wife or their husband or whatever. But we're trying to, if I can make them do well enough at our markets that they can step out of one or two of their markets and just slow it down a little bit,
yeah,
that's worth it to me. That's really one of my goals.
And tell me about feedback you're getting from the farmers, because you're setting up a successful business, it sounds like, for yourself to do something new and different in life, but also you want the farmers to be successful.
Right. So we've gotten some great feedback from them. One of the things that we're doing that we haven't talked about yet is that we try to open doors for our farmers. So we are contacting conference centers and restaurants and places that serve a lot of people food and trying to connect them with the farmer so that the farmer can actually supply them that food. We've done it with a milk vendor. That didn't work out because they couldn't come up with a price that worked well for both. But we're working with produce vendors right now, with the National Conference Center, and we're trying to open that door for them. We're trying to be the middleman to help the negotiations happen so that, again, they could set up. The conference center is a ongoing client of theirs, and maybe they can cancel out of one of the markets, and that would be awesome if they could.
I'm curious to know, for farmers who are making, you said most, in some cases, of their revenue at farmers markets, outside of that, are they trying to get into grocery stores or local markets and things like that in the meantime? And then maybe that's more difficult to do if it's a chain or something.
It's difficult to do because there's a demand, and they don't do well with demand, we found. If we have some restaurants that we're working with that will say to us, hey, I want to work with one of your farmers, but I only want to work with what they have. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put demands on them and say, you've got to produce 500 ears of corn or 300 tomatoes every week. I want to tell them, give me what you have.
The restaurants are saying they want to work with just what the farmer is offering and nothing more. That's good though, right?
Some do, yeah.
When it goes outside of that, it gets more difficult.
Yeah, like if they try to work with a grocery store, there's a huge process working with any kind of grocery store and the getting paid and things like that. And the farmer just doesn't have time for it typically, and sometimes they don't have the knowledge of how to make all that work either. So farmers markets is a great way for them to get either cash or credit card. They sell their product, they get it, they go home, and they're done for the day.
As a business owner, someone who has owned a marketing company for many, many years, for decades, now you're working with a new clientele. Maybe some of them have been clients in the past in some form or another, but what have you brought in terms of your experience and background into working with farmers and markets?
It's a little bit the same, but it's mostly different.
Yeah.
So it's we're working with a group of people that have never even thought of marketing before. It's never crossed their mind. They have their markets. They know how many they can go to. They know how many they can handle, but they've never thought about their brand. They've never thought that they're going to have followers, that if thick followers can find them online, they'll come after them. Yeah. And that's what we want. And that's what we're bringing to the table that they've never had before.
Has it given you extra consideration or thought about you talked about the state of farmers in Virginia. When you look around, you see development going up. That's a farm that's been sold. But as you look across the country and where we are today, it has been a tough road for farmers for a long time. But this eat local movement, this healthier, this focus on healthier food, is it starting to turn things around a little bit?
Yeah, and we've got some plans to make it turn around even further. We're looking at putting together an e-commerce site where farmers can actually sell their product off of one site. So you can actually go there, shop from our farmers market from the comfort of your own home and have everything delivered to your door.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it's a little hard to get it off the ground, but it is in the works. So that's something that we can hopefully get launched by next year.
How can someone learn more about Eat Loco?
You can go to our website, www.eatloco.org. That's eatloco.org.
And how about vendors? Can they sign up there?
Yep. There's a big block right on the front page that says become a vendor. Click on that and it tells you everything you got to know.
All right. Dan, best of luck to you and Eat Loco. It's a worthy cause and a really cool idea for a business, and I'm glad it's working out.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate it.
Dan Hine, again, is Eat Loco founder and CEO. For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. To learn more about the Better Business Bureau, visit bbb.org.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.